We have not sought out like other podcasts to like cross-pollinate. It's like one thing we could do to grow. So this was just a good opportunity to go and do that. Put my face out there.
I'm sure your hair looked great.
My hair did look great. I have to tell you.
I see the banner is up.
I pulled the misplay banner out of the bag. I want them to think it's always up.
It's interesting to me to, this is a personal aside, but it's interesting to me that you have been thinking about that like cross-pollination thing, because I was talking over the summer and I was like, man, I would love, before I retire from dance fighting, I would love to get invited to go teach somewhere.
You're my friend. I'd let you do it here. I'm all about you. I'd go watch. I'd stream it myself.
Every time I invite you to class, you're like, ooh, I got plans.
I do have plans. When's the next one? I'm busy.
Tomorrow.
I have something.
I'm Hunter Pence, and you're listening to the Misplay Podcast. Oh, yeah.
Hello, and welcome to The Misplay, where we can't see 180 degrees ahead. My name is Mark.
My name is Jason. So I'm playing our game, and we're going to talk about the changes that we've made to the mechanics in just a little bit. But know that when you place the gray tile now, the board rotates 90 degrees clockwise. And so I'm playing with Jeff, our friend, and I built what I thought was a mirror image of his pattern. It was the pattern I thought he was on, but it was in an orientation that I thought, well, when the board rotates, there's no way, it doesn't make his pattern. Place a tile, place a tile, place a gray tile, rotate the board, and it was his pattern. I could not visually see that this shape, when it turned 180 degrees, was going to be the orientation he needed it to be. I just totally believe.
Icarus flying a little bit too close to the sun.
Just like when we played harmonies. Sensing a theme. My wife calls it unjustifiably confident.
I was crushing it until...
until I lost.
What did Jeff think of the new version?
The feedback we got from Jeff on this version was a lot better than the feedback we got from Jeff on our last version.
That's great news.
It has been really good news. And I think other people who have played it have echoed some of the things that Jeff has said as well. Jeff's comment was he felt like with the board rotating and knowing that it was going clockwise, that you could build a strategy, that the game became less chaotic. And I think that's good. That's what we've been trying to do since Protospiel Online. Our conversations last week is what led us here to where we are, to the theme that we have, we think, the theme for the game. So last episode was theme it or leave it. And we debated whether or not we should be putting a theme onto the game.
Everyone in Discord voted with you.
Everybody we spoke to was like, yeah, it should have a theme. And we were like, yeah. The theme is actually yours, though. You brought this theme back with you from Gen Con. Yep. That's the first time I heard it. You gave me, before Gen Con, you told me this theme about AI, and I really liked it. We went into Gen Con, and I was like, oh, yeah, this will be the theme. That's cool. You came back from Gen Con with what idea?
Stars, constellations, the night sky.
Go on.
I mean, that was kind of it. I came back from Gen Con with this deep desire to have the game look beautiful. And I'm a night owl, so getting out and getting under the night stars, such that you're able to in San Francisco.
Right.
But I'm a night owl. I love the moon. I love the sky. Nighttime is one of my favorite times to be out. And so if I'm looking for something that's beautiful, it often winds up being at night.
And when you came back and you talked about that, I mean, it made a lot of sense to me. Constellations, looking up into the sky and seeing different patterns, fits what we've been doing. The one thing that tied it together was the gray mechanic. We have always loved how blue and orange worked in the game. The blue and the orange tile have always made sense in the game. We've said it before that if this was just a two-tile game, pieces work perfectly. The blue tile moves pieces up and down, left and right, orthogonally, and the orange tiles move pieces diagonally, and there's balance there. And we always struggled with the gray tile to find a third movement that was equally effective. So this idea now that when you place the gray tile, so instead of previous versions of gray where we were swapping tiles or we were removing tiles from the board or we were pulling tiles, or the version where tiles were just coming straight down and staying or even stacking, this idea that when you place a gray tile, what you can do is rotate the board thematically is happening is you are adjusting or repointing your telescope. Changing the perspective of the board is so interesting. It opens up different ways to play the game. I think it really strongly fits the theme that you brought back.
I agree. I think the rotation puts me enough into the narrative of the game of two people being out at night, kind of racing to see who can find box with the tail first.
Good name for that pattern. We are going to have to come up with names for the patterns.
I'm legitimately excited to start trying to do nomenclature for the legends and the different constellations.
Box with a tail. That's great. That has to be it.
No.
Really? You don't like, oh, you were just, okay. There's a pattern in the game that is a square and then diagonally there's another box. So it does look like a box with a tail.
So I think the rotation and the theme does give enough to, for me, to anchor the game in. Enough narrative without doing what I said kind of we had been doing previously last week where, oh, well, this week it's a water game and we're just putting, okay, well, here are the fish that are moving and here's the rock. Or is it an urban planning thing? Well, I'll put my bench here. No, you have to put your bench over here. So you slide it over and then you get to put down your tree. And it's just these like arbitrary things that the game doesn't represent. I'm so bad, still is not convinced that the mechanics in this game represent the theme or hold the theme well. With the rotation of the board and the visual design of the board and the tiles, I think for me that would be enough. And I don't think I would want more than that for what we've created. I think we've created a different problem for ourselves though.
What's that?
How does currents fit the stars theme?
It doesn't.
Probably need to solve that problem coming up.
I want to say I have, but I don't think we're there yet. The game does have a name.
I'm not in love with the name yet. I think we can workshop it.
Tell them the name.
Star Fold.
How you say fold wrong, though? You're like, Star Fold.
That's what you do in poker.
Fold, yeah. How about Star Fold?
I'm just not in love with it. If you were like, it is Starfold, and it's a beautiful title, and that's what we're going to put on the box, I don't think that's a hill I'm ready to die on, but I think we could workshop it still.
And we will. But before we do that, today's episode is sponsored by Spielmas. Spielmas is a holiday festival celebrated by playing a tabletop game each night between December 26th and December 31st. Spielmas was founded in 2020 by Greg Poole when the pandemic forced him to find a new gaming group online. Greg's hope is the idea of Spielmas will spur you to find your old friends and connect with them online, call them up, teach them a game, make up for some lost time, and celebrate. Greg even reached out to me this week and shared a 3D printing file that he has for the celebration. You place a token or meeple from each game over 6 days as like a little trophy, a memento, and take a picture. I will 3D print you if you're one of the first 5 people who reach out to me on Discord. I will 3D print you one and mail it to you anywhere in the world.
Are you going to be my Spielmas buddy over winter break this year?
We are absolutely going to be Spielmas buddies.
Even while I'm in Connecticut?
We can play a game online, yeah.
Let's go.
For more information, visit spielmas.com. SPIELMAS.com. 6 nights, 6 games, 1 festival. Where are we?
We have to rename Starfold.
Let's not start there.
We've rebranded Currents.
We have rebranded Currents.
Into Starfold.
Let's talk about why we did that right away. Because that happened very fast. 2 weeks ago, we were like, will the game have a theme? I don't know. Now we're coming to you with a theme and a name, and we're ready to box and ship it. So a lot has transpired in 2 weeks. Why was it so fast?
The Board Game Geek competition that you entered the game in has launched.
There was a deadline where you couldn't make any more changes. So we entered the contest a month ago just by saying, this is our game, here's our page, here are our resources, here are our print and play files, here is our playing cards room. So we were entered, but there was a cutoff when you could no longer make any changes to it so that everybody who was voting would have the same resources. They would have the same print and play files, that you weren't changing the rules to the game. And voting runs until October 30th. So if you're listening, we would love for you to go check it out. I'm not asking you to vote for the misplay. Check out the Board Game Geek two-player design contest. There are over 30 games. I think there's close to 40 games. These are all two-player print and play games that you can print out at home and then give feedback on. And then there's also a link for voting. You can vote for best theme. You can vote for, which we're not in the category for best theme at the moment, but there's all these different categories, best rules, best online play. Yeah, it's just, I have always said the reason that we did it was so that we can start engaging with people and get feedback and learn how to respond to it. And it was just an opportunity to have more people see our game. So there was a deadline and we had to reach a point where we couldn't make any more changes. And I didn't want the game to be out there with the old rule set, because in my head, once we started rotating the board, I was like, this is the game. This is so, I really like this. And it fits the theme. I was just like, well, we just got to make this happen. So we made the changes to the playing cards room. We made a change to the print and play materials. And we had to give it a new name. We couldn't just call it Currents, because now it's the rotating the board had a strong tie-in and fit to the sky, to the star world. And you and I'm so bad and I, we did a little workshopping real quick. We didn't have a ton of time. We started rattling off some names.
It was fun. I had a good time workshopping the name.
Do you remember some that were going back and forth?
Star Wars?
We weren't doing Star Wars.
Star Trek?
No. Those were two names you did throw out, though.
I'm insulted that you didn't put them on the list. That was one of your rules. Like, you come up with a name and it goes on the list.
It was a rule. What were some of the other ones that were floating?
Repointing.
Repointing? Yes, that was one I threw out there.
I came back from Gen Con with Startography and Among the Stars as names.
There are a lot of words that fit the, you know, star, sky, universe theme. There was one I really liked, Celeste, short for Celestial, which that game doesn't exist, but there are like 50 other Celestial games that when you search, you find those as well. There were other things like Night Weaver. We had one that I liked with Weaver in it, right? We were going back and forth on some.
You really hated mine for that one.
Starweave?
Tapestry Weaver.
Okay, yeah, I did not like that one.
See?
There was like Sky Mosaic, Connect the Stars.
Midnight Tapestry is still high on my list.
Midnight Tapestry.
I think that's good.
Cosmic Quilt.
Oh, that's cute.
There are a lot of different combinations you can make. I've always been a fan of the one word names, Currents.
I like Cosmic Quilt.
So names are just going back and forth. And I threw out Starfold. And I don't think I got a positive response, but I don't think I got a negative response from anybody. To me, that was a name that, like, I like that. Scott did something really cool. When I reached out to Scott, I said, Scott, we need a quick new font for the game. And he came back within an hour and he has this font, and you can see it now on our Blue Sky, or you can go to our Discord. And the A in Starfold is like rotating. It's kind of like pointing in a direction. I thought that was really clever.
Looks nice. Leave it to Scott to crush it under the wire.
Yes. So we are not saying Starfold is the name of the game. We're not saying that's the name that's going to go on the box. It was the name that we kind of had the lock in for, you know, the same thing happened to us with
Currents.
With Currents and Gen Con. We had to give it a name. I had to sign up. I couldn't just write abstract game. So we went with the Currents theme. We went with the water theme. Again, kind of last minute. So we did that again. Starfold is the game that is going to be in the Board Game Geek design contest. That's what we're calling it. That's what we'll refer to it on the show, Starfold. Not the game formerly known as Currents or Whimsyvale or Dying World or Animal Kingdom.
We're in a different galaxy than Animal Kingdom.
I don't know. I feel like it's, you know, it got us there.
Did it?
Nobody else believes that, but I know it does. I know the true story. When we do the VH1 Behind the Music story, I'm the only one who can tell this story.
The game is posted. The competition is open. Voting is open. Please go play other people's games. It sounds like there are a lot of games.
I'm going to do a shout out right now for a game called Collapsy, which I played with my partner that I just think is fantastic. I love the simplicity of it. And I gave feedback and I said, I feel bad even saying this is a simple game because I know a lot of hard work goes into creating this, but it's such a cool game. And it can be set up in just a minute. You can learn the rules in a minute and you can play a game in like 2 minutes. You can play best of three and just keep going and develop a strategy. It's really neat. So there are lots of games to go and play.
Support the community. That's one of the things that we've tried to task ourselves with doing more this year.
And I will say they are supporting us right now and have been since I posted the game into the Board Game Geek contest. The thing that I really wanted to talk about today was how Starfold has become a print and play game.
Go on.
I entered us in a print and play contest, not really fully understanding what I was doing. I knew what we were doing wasn't a true print and play game. We've always been building within playing cards. But I read a post somewhere in the long thread about the contest that said, hey, I also have a game. It was from somebody else that said, hey, my game is just really, it's like an online two-player game. And someone had replied, they said, oh, that's okay. As long as it's a two-player game, it's fine if it's just online. And so I took that and ran with it. I said, okay, I'm putting our game up there. And so I did. I put the game up.
Well, and the feedback started coming right away. There's been a lot of what I would describe as logistical feedback, but I think still useful feedback to get from a wider community who has probably more experience in talking and writing about games in this way. A lot of what I've read in the comments and feedback for us, I think for me, will translate into the way that we write rules when we're starting to really work and refine the rule book. But there was a lot of like logistical suggestions of like how to make it very clear what the print and play pieces and components need in order to be clear, quick, and useful to players that want to do the print and play instead of playing in playing cards.
So from the get-go, I did have what I thought were print and play files. And this has been a huge learning for me. I just took pictures of our patterns and pictures of our legend cards and a player aid card. I put it in a Google Doc and I just said, here, you can just print these. And I will tell you, Mark, those are the exact files that I printed when I made our in-person versions of the game that you took to Gen Con. I used the same files. I put them up on this thread and those worked for me to give to you because I cut them out very exactly. They're in full color and glued them and I put a backing on them and I made it look, I thought, pretty nice. I think the materials that you took to Gen Con look good. There was a mix of some 3D printing pieces, like a stand to hold the card and of course the grid. So in my mind, I was giving everybody what they needed. This is what I used. Just print these, cut them. A print and play game. There's nothing else to it. I really couldn't have been more wrong. I was happy that people started leaving feedback that were telling me that, this isn't really a print and play game. I was like, what do you mean? All the pieces are there. How is it not a print and play game?
Well, and that feedback broke down into kind of two categories, right? There was the description and visual aspect of presenting the printed materials and how they would be prepared by somebody who is printing and playing, and kind of the physical description of what needed to happen in order to print, play what you submitted.
And I will say that I have been overlooking what print and play players are and what they need. So after we started getting some of the feedback on Board Game Geek, I was like, oh, okay, I got to put tiles up there too, because in a true print and play game, you have to give all of the components. What I initially said was, here are the patterns, here are the legend cards, use some pieces that you have laying around the house. And somebody said, well, you know, Azul actually works really well. I was like, oh, everyone's got Azul. Just use Azul. And that is not really print and play.
It is very in the City Square ethos, though.
It is. And I actually really like that. You can build a game and use all these other pieces that you have. But still, it's not print and play. And so then I reached out to you and I said, hey, Mark, I need tiles. Can you make me some tiles? You made some tiles.
Full color, too.
Full color. That was great.
Not what people were looking for.
Not what people were looking for. There's something called cut lines. What we were posting was not easy for people to cut out. Even the tiles, it was unclear where to cut. One of the things we heard was, color. That could be a problem for people with how that comes out. And I'm going to give a shout out to somebody on BoardGameGeek. His name was Ryan. Ryan had said, hey, I would be interested to play the physical print and play version, especially given the spirit of the contest, but the files aren't very print and play friendly. They're not formatted for accessibility. There's no cut lines. They're spaced awkwardly. And he recommended linking a PDF. They also talked about just having an option for US letter size and A4 as well, which is the standard in other parts of the country for printing. He was super nice. Like, I don't mean to be mean. I'm not trying to nitpick. And I was really happy to get that feedback. I don't know. Like, I think there's a lot of people who get that feedback and go, dude, just print it. Like, just print it, cut it, glue it, go. Like, it's all there. What do you need? I really like growth mindset. Print and play isn't my thing. I don't print and play a lot of games. How can I make this better? And you know what I said?
You said, I'm going to make those changes. And then you did.
Close. I'm going to make those changes, but I'm not the person who can do it. Had to make a call. You know who I called?
Scott.
We had less than 24 hours to get the files uploaded. And I said, Scott, I have gotten feedback that our print and play files aren't very print and play friendly. Turns out, of course, Scott has the experience. In one of Scott's previous things, he was making print and play materials for another game. Did you know that?
No. Unsurprised.
Unsurprised, no. Right? So he had like a concept of what to do. And you can now look at our print and play files. You can find them on our BoardGameGeek work in progress page if you look up Starfold. You can also find them in our Discord. Scott put the cut lines in. He made everything black and white. He made the formatting and the sizing. Actually, when I cut them out on a paper cutter, I was shocked at how somehow it was all lined up on the inch lines on this paper. I don't know how he did that. When I was cutting on a paper cutter, it just made it so easy. And he included a little bit of a player aid. He made a grid. And I think now we can say, this is a print and play game. You can print and play this game. In fact, what did you and I do today?
We printed it and played it.
We printed it and we played it. We tested it. I took pictures of it that I'm posting. The rules are there. And then you've got all of the components that you're going to need, except for a stand that holds the cards.
Job well done.
By Scott.
Job well done, Scott. Well, you told me in the library today, we're done.
Box it, ship it.
Don't even need to box it. Print and ship it.
Print, ship it. Well, you know, I mean, it is a conversation that we can have. Our stated goal was to bring a game to crowdfunding. But I'll tell you where I was 3 months ago and where I am right now with the game, completely different spaces. I'm really happy with the direction we're moving. And I feel good that we are going to get to a point in December where we can say, I think we're going to have a game that we're proud of, that we want to play.
Those were two of the metrics that we were really looking for.
I don't know if I'm going to be good at it, because I will tell you right now, with the board rotation, I'm having some spatial things. But one of the things that we tried to do by choosing a theme to adjust the mechanics, which is what we did, was we were trying to tackle, you know, the branching problem, the complexity problem. We've removed stacking from the game. Stacking adds a whole layer of complexity. And so now we're playing on a flat board. So no more stacking. There's only 25 spots in the grid if this is the size grid that we continue with. By doing that, we have made the game simpler. Rotating does add this other layer of complexity, though. I don't think the rotating is as complex as stacking.
I think I would describe it differently. I don't know that I would call this version simpler. I think we have succeeded in moving the complexity into places that are more interesting and more compelling than the requisite number crunching of how many moves can I think ahead and how many moves can I eliminate before I make my play in order to not, oops, I lose. I think there's still some of that. It feels more tolerable to me now. Even if I, oops, I lose, I feel like I have oops that I lost while I was actively building towards the strategy to my end game where I actively win.
I didn't think about it that way. I like that. I mean, if that's what's happening, that's great. I didn't think about it that way.
That's the difference for me. I'm sure, I mean, Imsabet has said, like, it doesn't feel that different. I think it feels very different.
I think so. I think it feels different, but I couldn't put it in the words like you did.
Can we talk about the thing that I find most aesthetically pleasing about the game now that we've moved into constellations and this theme and the rotating board?
Components?
No. The rotating board necessitated changing some of the patterns.
Yes. Yes, it did.
Where we had to remove patterns that had lines of symmetry so that every pattern now has four configurations based on how the board rotates, whereas something like the plus sign only had one orientation because it was symmetrical in all directions.
Correct.
And I really love what the new patterns look like.
There's a couple that I really love too. And the other change that we had to make to the patterns was we had to fit them all into a 3x3 grid, because patterns that extend beyond that, there are less spaces in a 5x5 grid for you to make them. And so there was one pattern we were playing with that could be made 12 times inside a 5x5. And there was another pattern that we were playing with that was only 6.
Or 5. The bar could only be in 5 locations.
The original bar, yeah. And so, you know, it's just not fair. There's only 5 places it could be. That was feedback we were getting from Protospiel and from Golden Gate Game Makers as well. These patterns have allowed us to kind of make the game a little fairer.
That's been your big thing for a long time. We need to make sure that the game has a sense of balance to it.
Yeah, and you know I struggled with the patterns for a long time, and we might still have to make a number of changes. I think we're moving in the right direction, knowing what our parameters are, that it has to fit essentially in the 3x3, and then we want it to look like a constellation, now that that's the theme.
Box with a tail.
Box with a tail. You know, there's still some patterns in the game, like the T-shape.
I think the T-shape works as a constellation.
I think they all work. I'm excited to move beyond what we've just been using as essentially placeholder, like these boxes. These boxes have always just been a placeholder. I've never wanted the patterns to be just these black squares. I'm really excited to start thinking about what they could be. We were talking about it today. They could still be squares with images on top of them. We could also make them round. We could also make them not round, not square, you know, just make it some type of polygon so they could look like stars.
I know you did the sample where you had an artist do like, oh, like this one has the north, south, east, west movement. This one has the diagonal movement. How cool would it be to have a nucleus, the heart of the star, and then the light that comes off the radius be the indicators for the directionality of how the tiles play?
Yeah, that's something we really want. We really want somebody to look at the tile and go, I know how this affects the other tiles. This one moves things up and down. I can tell by, you know, like you said, the rays. Something on the image that emphasizes and speaks to the rules. I don't know what the gray tile will be, though.
It could be like the knob on your tighteners on the mics, like your focus lens that turns.
Oh, yeah. But it's in the gear. But it's in the sky, too, though. Like, it's in your image, right? So it does have to be starry, right? You don't want it to just be a thing that's on the ground.
I think there's a lot of great visual iconography that we get to derive from using stars, because like there are spiral galaxies.
Yeah.
You could have gray be the spiral and that's your like rotational indicator, but it's still like
yeah.
pings as a visual support for the game mechanics, but also has the tie-in to or the visual aspects of the theme.
You've talked about a nice version of this game.
I mean, would I love my like nice wooden board with like a deep colored wooden board with like beautifully popping resin pieces? Absolutely. Do I recognize that that's ridiculously expensive for the product that we're trying to make? Absolutely. Do I think there's a middle ground where we can have the game look nice and different? I want it to look different than all the games that you have on your shelf, because I look at the games that are on your game shelf and I could take your components from Pandemic and I could drop them into 8-Minute Empire and you could play 8-Minute Empire with your Pandemic components. I want the game to look different than every game on your shelf.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think we need ultimately something that's unique. So I'm with you. You could even have one version of the game on the crowdfunding page for just you and Cola Coma to buy. So two people will back it. It'll be the $7,500 version of the game that has like super high-end component and it looks beautiful. We can do that. You can have that, okay? But the main game that we're going to be manufacturing is definitely going to be a bit more common. We've talked about probably not having plastic pieces. That is a bridge that we can worry about crossing in a little bit. One of, I think, the next things for you that you've talked about, that you've said you've enjoyed doing, is updating the rules and getting the rules tighter and start that process, because I don't know a lot about it, but I know like it's not easy to put together a really good rule book. And there's something to having a really good rule book. And I say book, but rule page is something small.
That's something I'm looking forward to tackling. It pings my behavior analyst brain. Writing something that is so clear that you can't make a mistake is something I aspire to.
I was reading our math curriculum today. There's a problem in there for the students. I didn't understand it.
I have to come look at it.
That has to be rewritten.
I'm not rewriting the math curriculum.
I'm not asking you to. Yeah, I will say that's not an area I care about. In terms of me putting my hands on it, except for the visual presentation of it.
You can format and edit to your heart's content. I am concerned with the words that exist on the page such that they carry the message that we require for setup and gameplay.
That's teamwork.
Boom.
I will make it look pretty. Well, I mean, I will hire somebody to make it look pretty.
But he doesn't want the game to be pretty.
I do want the game to be pretty. Pretty inexpensive.
I see what you did there.
Ah, you're a word person.
The Misplay podcast is brought to you by Mike C., Missy, JP Savard, Parney, Kyle Flowers, Ajos, Brian Bins, and Peter. Consider donating at buymeacoffee.com/themisplay. If you'd like to become a featured sponsor of the show, find our form at themisplay.com/sponsors.
Does it have to be this game?
If not this, what?
What? It's a great question. We would have to go back to the drawing board.
Can I interest you in a trick-taking game for tricksters?
You could.